Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
And to talk about all things Gardo's, we head out to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline and welcome on Zach Meisel of The Athletic. Zach, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks for that grand introduction. How are you?
Good, except I almost said you're from Cleveland.com, so yeah. I kind of feel like a moron.
It's been a while. That's the stomping grounds of my past.
Listen, you've got a hell of a resume there, friend. Now, I do want to I want to get to the Gavin Williams stuff. I want to get to the Tristan McKenzie stuff. And I thought you and Jason, you guys really did a great job on the Tristan McKenzie write-up last week, so I want to give you your flowers on that. But in terms of the Guardians' fast start, I know the locker room's not going to say that this surprised them. Has this fast start surprised the Guardians organization, though?
It's funny because when you win games, you say stuff like, oh, well, we're just a we're a tight-knit group, and we're playing for each other. We're all pulling for the same end of the rope. And then everyone hears those things, and they're like, oh, man, this team is unlike any other. And those aren't things that, like, the White Sox are saying because they're 3-20. It sounds good when you're winning. And they'll talk, they've talked about how everyone on this team reported to camp 2 weeks before spring training began. And they were humbled last year, and they didn't want to repeat the mistakes they made last year. So they had motivation, et cetera, et cetera. That all sounds great. That doesn't guarantee anything. So I think from the organization standpoint, yeah, they're surprised. They've never had a better start to a season in franchise history. That dates back to 1901. So it's surprising. It doesn't guarantee anything. But this was supposed to be – there were a lot of unknowns this year. You had a new coaching staff. You have a lot of the same young players from last year who – you were hoping would take some steps forward, but you don't know. And so, obviously, it's not just the fast start. It's the fact that there are a lot of people who haven't gotten going yet, or, they've done things in spite of injuries. It's been someone different every night offensively. It's been guys emerging in the bullpen who they didn't expect to do this. So it's a lot. There are a lot of positives here. And then the question is, where does it lead? Are you getting answers on some of these young position players? Is there a path forward for this rotation that to give you some stability? So all good things so far, definitely some surprises. Because, look, I mean, Nick, if I told you that, they'd only have Bieber for two starts, you wouldn't see Gavin Williams, Jose Ramirez would be slumping. I don't think you would have predicted 17-6.
You are correct on that.
Zach, with that being said, what do you need to see from the Gardos in the coming weeks, coming months here that lets us know this isn't just, a bit of a blip? Is this something that's real?
Yeah, I think there's two components. Number one is Tanner Bibee and Tristan McKenzie taking ownership of this rotation and saying, look, no Bieber, no Gavin Williams for some length of time. You can only ask so much of Carlos Carrasco at age 37 or of Ben Lively, who's kind of been a journeyman. You can only ask so much of Xavion Curry or whoever else they'll have to lean on at some point. Bibee and McKenzie and Logan Allen, to an extent, can be guys who give you innings and lead your rotation. They have to. So I think that's essential so that you don't burn out this bullpen. And then two is just learning about the position players. Like, is Will Brennan a dude? Is Tyler Freeman a dude? Is Estevan Florial someone that you want in the lineup on a regular basis? Because if not, at some point, Kyle Manzardo can only crush AAA pitching for so long. And there are some other guys down there who are stating their case for a call-up. I think the rotation is going to be essential. And then filling out this lineup, the top half has been so good. The bottom half has been cycling through a bunch of young guys and trying to figure out if any of them can stick. And sooner rather than later, I think you need some answers.
So to kind of go back to the piece that you and Jason wrote about Tristan McKenzie and the option to get Tommy John last year and obviously his struggles to start the season. I know he's coming off a improved performance in his last start, but how confident is the organization that Tristan's going to be in the rotation all year?
Yeah, I mean, I know that there are nerves. I also know that if you look around the state of the game right now, there is not a single executive or coach who's not panicked about a pitcher that they like eventually suffering an elbow injury. I mean, it is. I've had players refer to it as an epidemic. Pitchers who are completely healthy saying that, like, there's just a natural fear you have to live with. You know, in McKenzie's situation, the first thing that needs to be said is he has said he feels great. No pain, nothing. It is, you know, his issue, and I think, you know, the conversations that Jason and I had with him were taking us through the decision he had to make, what he went through last year, because he got different opinions from different doctors. And I think it's difficult to know exactly what you need as a player. You know, you're not a medical professional, and you can take all the input from the professionals, but you still have to make the decision. And, you know, there are a lot of factors at play. Pain tolerance is one of them. Your arsenal and how an elbow injury would affect that moving forward if you don't get the surgery. And if you do get the surgery, and of course, the stage of your career, you know, the timeline. I talked to some pitchers these recent weeks around the league who were saying, like, you know, no one knows exactly what's causing all these elbow injuries. It's a safe guess to assume that everybody trying to throw 100 miles an hour is playing into this. And yet a lot of pitchers say, but I need to be able to throw 100 miles an hour to earn a paycheck and to get opportunities. And if I blow out my elbow doing it, you know, that's a side effect. Like, that's a risk I have to take. So with McKenzie, you know, he opted against the surgery. He came back at the end of last season. He felt good in his two starts. And then he was able to have a more normal offseason. So, like, we see the stuff, right? He's not too concerned about the lower velocity, but to me, it's more, he's been able to get by with 91, 92 in the past. It's more just being able to lean on the curveball and the slider. And the main thing is you got to have great command. Like, he's walking a ton of guys right now. And some of that is probably related to the fact that, you know, an 89 mile an hour fastball is going to have to be placed perfectly and not in the middle of the strike zone. So I think it's a work in progress. He seems confident that there are better days ahead. He's figuring things out each start, but you never know. You never know what's going to happen health-wise. And I think, I mean, we see with Gavin Williams today, it's like nobody is safe from this. So and I think everyone is struggling to figure out the best way to navigate through these things.
Zach Meisel on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. So you mentioned Gavin Williams. He experienced a recurrence of elbow soreness. I'm just reading your tweet now to you. But it's for the people,
you.
Not just – and by the way, well-constructed tweet, all right, just as we get started here. Now, in your tweet, you say he's going to get an injection and he'll be shut down for 7 days before resuming that throwing program. Is this something that should be viewed more as a momentary setback or a significant concern here?
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
So their hope is it's a momentary setback. You know, he was going to start a rehab assignment this week where he was probably just, let's say, like three rehab starts would take 15 days. You know, he was 2.5 weeks from returning to the rotation, let's say. Instead, you know, he's going to hit the pause button for a week and then get back to it. And you have to ramp back up slowly but surely. So it's certainly delaying his timeline. I'd be a fool if I tried to guess exactly what this looks like going forward, because we've seen, again, with these injuries, it's like you're never in the clear. So the hope is that, like, it's better that he's only shut down 7 days and you go from there. We've seen other pitchers get shut down for a lot longer. So we'll see. It's just, it's not what you want. He's a guy who has just elite stuff. And in his second year, I think, you know, you could have had some really high hopes for him, and you still can. I mean, but it's just, again, like, the recurring thing is the issue here. This was something he experienced in March. And after he threw 3 innings the other day, I think it was like 45 pitches or so in Arizona, he felt it again after that. So why is he feeling that? Why is this still an issue 2 months later? Like, that's, you know, something that someone smarter than me is going to have to figure out. And they hope an injection will, I guess, help to alleviate that. But, well, we'll see. If he's not throwing in 10 days, then I think there are more questions.
What do you think about a Josh Naylor extension?
Sure. Yeah, that'd be great, right? I mean, he's
the heart
and soul of the lineup. He's going to hit free agency after next season, so might want to lock that in pretty soon. He loves playing with his brother. He loves his teammates. And with someone with his – I mean, he's super talented, and he's made incredible strides as a hitter over the last year. But he also is a first baseman DH who has never played more than 120 games in a season. So I'm kind of surprised that something didn't get done in the spring.
So with that being said, where do you think the holdup is more likely to come from on a Naylor extension, from the team or from the player?
I would usually guess in these situations it's the team not offering enough. I know they had conversations with a handful of guys in the spring. I was not under the assumption that anything got really close. And they usually, you know, it's also you – this stuff is typically cut off when the season starts because players don't want the distraction. The team doesn't want to create a distraction. But I was surprised. You know, I thought there was an opportunity to, you know, do Naylor, Kwan, Tanner Bibee even. Like, those guys seemed ripe for it, but nothing got done.
So with that, Zach, obviously we've all noticed the power uptick this year. The Guardians are kind of middle of the league at power. That doesn't sound sexy until you realize they literally hit like 112 home runs last year and were last in the big leagues. Obviously we're seeing more doubles as well. Is this an organizational philosophy? Has anything changed, or is it just they're actually fulfilling their potential, which they didn't do last year?
Yeah, I mean, it's like last year they were flying like their seat on the plane was in the bathroom at the back of the plane, and now they're flying in business class. Like, that's – it can't be stressed enough how middle of the pack is an enormous leap for them in the home run department. There are some philosophical things. Like, Tyler Freeman already has 3 home runs, and that's – he was never a big power hitter even in the minors, but it's taking what you do well, making a ton of contact, and leveraging that so that when you get a pitch – that is the perfect pitch you like to hit, you're not just flicking it into left field for a single. You're doing damage on it. That's been Stephen Kwan's whole aggressive approach too. You know, you're seeing it with Will Brennan. So I think it's philosophical, but it's also like contact is great and they load it up on all these hitters who can hit any pitch. But if you're swinging a slider out of the zone and you're so good at making contact that you don't swing and miss at that, well, what can you really do with that? That was Oscar Gonzalez's problem, is he would make a ton of contact, but it'd be bad contact. You know, you'd roll a weak one over to the second baseman because, you know, you swung at a pitch out of the zone and you should have just let it go. Like, Stephen Kwan's strikeouts are up a little bit and he's fine with that because it's just a product of being more aggressive, recognizing the pitches that you can actually do damage on and capitalizing on that. So the philosophical part of it has worked. I think there are still adjustments that need to be made. You know, eventually, like with Kwan, pitchers will recognize, oh, he's actually going to swing at the first pitch now. Okay, well, then maybe we got to pitch around him a little bit and not just groove one in on the first pitch. And eventually that'll lead to Kwan being more patient again, drawing walks. It's a cat and mouse game, and I think they're playing it a lot better than they were last season.
You don't know this about me, Zach, but I am a big Gabe Arias honk. I was hoping he'd win the shortstop job this year because I just love the power and defense combination. His numbers, he hasn't played as much as Rocchio. His numbers through what he's played are better than Rocchio's. Could we see a spot in the next month where maybe Arias starts to chip into the playing time of Rocchio.
Yeah, I think so. Steven Vogt has not been shy about trying to lean on the hot hand, and there's a reason Arias played center field, and he had starts at like four different positions last week. So, I mean, the amazing thing is he went 9-for-108 against lefties last season, and this year he's 6-for-11. So it's night and day, and it's a tiny, tiny sample size, but it was rough last year, and it didn't make sense. There were things with his swing and his approach that just weren't working against lefties, and now to match his output against lefties from last year, he'd have to go 3-for-97. So he's been much better, and if he keeps that up, then yeah, you know, you're going to get to a point in the calendar where you actually can draw some conclusions and base playing time or promotions or demotions off of it.
Zach, it wouldn't be an interview about the Guardians without a Kyle Manzardo question. He's raking it right now at AAA. How close are we, and how motivated are the Guardians to get him up to the big leagues?
Yeah, it's weird because he's ready. There's nothing left for him to accomplish in Columbus. And this team ranks, I think they're third in runs per game in the majors, which is insane because, again, like, it's not like you look at Freeman's numbers or Brennan or Bo Naylor or Rocchio. Like, those guys aren't crushing it, but they have squeezed every drop of production out of this lineup that they can. So there's maybe not desperation. Like in past years, it seems like they always got off to slow starts hitting, and, you know, everyone would be clamoring for the hitting coach to be fired and the top seven prospects to get called up, and it doesn't feel like that's the case right now. But there is space for him in this lineup. I mean, they've rotated guys through the DH spot, and you could call up Manzardo, hit him fifth, and not look back. So I think they'll get to that point eventually. You know, they typically try to find a time when the player's going well and maybe there's a need. There certainly isn't. I guess there's not a need, but I think he'd be better than we've seen from some guys so far. So it'll be interesting to see when they start to feel that pressure.
All right, before we go, we got about 30 seconds here. This is a show poll we have out there that people can vote on our Twitter poll, afternoon, 923fan. Who has a lower approval rating right now, Zach, the NCAA or MLB Commissioner Rob Manfred?
What is – Manfred's been commissioner for how long? Like, what's his highest approval rating ever been?
Three.
I mean, is it – you're right. I guess – so that's my answer.
I think that's a fair answer there. I've said the NCAA, but I think I'm taking the L on this one. Zach, great stuff, buddy. Appreciate you. And, again, you and Jason did a phenomenal job on the McKenzie piece a week ago. Really great stuff, man. Appreciate you.
Much appreciated. Take care, guys.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.